Our next guest, our good friend, Dr. John Lott, PhD, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Great to talk to you again, Steve.
Well, let's see here. We need some catching up to do. Constitutional carry, big conversation going on in Michigan as to whether or not it'll get through the legislature. But in other places like Georgia, college carrying, kids being able to carry on campus, 21 years of age and older, is apparently made its way through on the way to the governor's desk there. It may or may not make it. What do you make of a couple of these laws? Because I see, you know, this pushback at the federal level, but at the state level, like in Michigan and Georgia, I see efforts underway to enhance the rights of gun owners.
Yeah, no, most of the states, in the vast majority of states, there's been a steady move towards making it easier for people to be able to go and defend themselves and others. You have a few states, obviously, like California and New York and Maryland, which have gone the other way more. But even in some of those, the changes have slowed down. It's mainly California seems to be the worst state in terms of threatening new gun laws.
Wow. Now, as a lot of people know, these discussions about anti-freedom measures, eliminating gun rights, usually come out of mass shooting conversations oftentimes. We had one here in Michigan recently. The mass shooter there says he was possessed by the Uber app before he killed six people. Mental health issues, clearly a problem. But here's my question. There's a lot of conversation about background checks, common sense gun laws. We need to do more of this, and it'll prevent some of that. And I don't know if it's true, but what about background checks on private sales of guns? Me and a neighbor, me and a friend, selling a gun back and forth, that sort of thing. Some states do it, others don't. But is there any connection whatsoever, statistically speaking, and I know you do a lot of this analysis, Doctor, any connection at all between background checks, mass shootings, how, you know, how the states, positive, negative, what have you found?
Right, well, I mean, I've looked at both crime rates in my book, More Guns, Less Crime, and then we've recently released a paper looking at mass public shootings. And really, in neither case, is there any evidence of the benefit that's there. You actually see some increases in mass public shootings after states adopt these laws, but my belief is it really just doesn't have any beneficial impact. Look, if you really believe that somebody is a threat to others, if you really believe that, then you ought to think about locking them up. Because just because you say they can't legally buy a gun isn't going to stop them from getting them any more than saying you can't legally go and buy drugs. You know, it's, people seem to have this view that if they just go and say you can't legally do something, that's going to stop them. But we have these mass public shootings are planned 6 months, a year, two and a half years in advance. And if somebody's going to spend that much time going and thinking about these attacks, they're going to find a way to be able to go and get weapons to accomplish this. You know, the other problem is that these laws aren't costless. You know, it's so much the discussion as well, if it could just stop one person, won't that be good? And everybody wants to stop every single one of these attacks. The problem is that these laws cost money. They make it costly for people to go and buy guns. In Washington, D.C., when the president tells people he's not pushing these laws that would have any impact on law-abiding people getting guns, that's simply wrong. In Washington, D.C., the expanded background check there adds $125 to the cost of a gun. There's some states, like Washington State, where you can find it maybe only adds $60 out of the cost of the gun. In California, it's $80. That may not stop you or I from getting a gun, but the type of people that my research shows benefits the most from having guns for protection, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, having $80 or $125 additional cost might make the difference between whether or not they're able to defend themselves or their family, the law-abiding citizens. The law-abiding poor people who live in those areas, who obey the laws, they're the ones who are going to get affected. The other thing is that the background check system is a complete mess. Virtually everybody who gets stopped from buying a gun is a false positive. You know, the best example I can give you is when the late Senator Ted Kennedy, there was five times that he was on the no-fly list. I assume nobody's going to count that as five times we stopped a terrorist from flying, but that's pretty much the way people count these numbers when we talk about background checks stopping people from buying guns. So when the president says there's been 2.4 million dangerous or prohibited people who've been stopped from buying guns because of background checks, that's simply false.
Well, yeah, but see, that's what they rely on. They rely on false flags and inflated statistics. Go on, I'll let you finish. We've got about 20 seconds.
Sure. No, I mean, 99% of those are law-abiding citizens who should have been able to buy a gun but were stopped from doing so. And when you're talking about that many people, you're going to be dealing with a number of cases where somebody may really need the gun quickly for self-defense, and they were stopped from doing it. Plus, the way the Obama administration is doing it now, they're making people have to spend thousands of dollars to go and hire a lawyer to go and get things cleared up, even though they should have been able to buy a gun legally to begin with.
Well, there you have it, Dr. John Lott. And where can people find you, Doctor?
At crimeresearch.org.
That's right. Crimeresearch.org. Always a pleasure, Dr. John Lott. We'll talk soon.
Great talking to you.